It is a pleasure to be here this morning, preaching the word of the Lord. Last time I was here was in May, so 7 months ago, around there. Time flies by. It's unbelievable that it's already December. I love December, you know, the Christmas season. My birthday is on Christmas too, so even better. My mom's birthday is on December 17th. My parents' anniversary, December 19th, Christmas, my birthday. My dad's birthday, January 1st. So that's a season of celebration, but also in the family. I'm Mexican, and so we eat a lot of tacos during that month. I always gain weight during December. But I'm super excited to be here. This semester, God has blessed me to being able to teach at Olivet. I've been teaching Scripts 1, Old Testament. So I had a lot of students. I was telling some of you, this semester I have 120 students. And students are fun. Sometimes they are kind of crazy. Sometimes they come up with crazy things and ideas. I love them. A couple months ago, I was asking one of my groups, and I was asking them, when you get married, when you are older, and if your son or your daughter asks you, hey dad, hey mom, why do I have to read the Bible? I asked them, what will you tell your son? What will you tell your daughter? You know, and a couple of students were telling me some answers, good insights. But I asked one specific guy, and I asked him, what will you tell your son? And he was like, professor, I don't know. Probably I will tell my son, go and ask your mom. She's always right. So, you know, I'm not married, but some people have told me that the wife is always right. I don't know if that's true, but apparently people know that. So it has been a good semester, busy semester, but good one. And once again, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, please, and we will go to the book of the prophet Isaiah, prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Once you have it, please, I'm going to ask you if you're capable to stand up in order to read the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads like this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. To behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. Thank you for the gift of life, and thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house of prayer, to worship your name, to worship you for who you are. And thank you for this Christmas season that we remember and we celebrate that Jesus was born, and that's the only reason that we celebrate. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes life gets a little bit hard. Sometimes in life, we face challenges. We face opposition. We face situations that we don't understand. Sometimes we go through life and we were expecting something, but for some reason, we are facing exactly the opposite thing. We don't understand. We go through life and we face sorrow. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we're sad and we don't understand what it happened. We don't understand why it turned out that way. We were expecting something different. Sometimes we do everything that we're capable to do. We pray, we read the Bible, we go to church, we praise God for who he is. We love him for who he is, but for some reason, sometimes seasons are hard. Sometimes we don't understand the reason. For those who are parents, my children are far away from God. I raised them in the church, but they are not here anymore. What happened? And we wonder why. We feel lonely. We feel that some people have betrayed us, that we gave them our best, and people are not like answering back to us the same way that we did for them. And we start saying phrases like, I don't know what's going on. Jesus has forsaken me. Some people say that. I have said that sometimes. When I don't understand things, I have said, God has forsaken me. But sometimes, you know, people tend to say phrases like, nobody understands me. And that's a phrase that probably is not biblical. Because sometimes people say, nobody understands me. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. Nobody understands me. And sometimes we share our thoughts. Sometimes we share what we're going through. You know, and people try to give us advice and things like that. But we say like, oh, but yeah, you don't understand. You have never gone through what I'm going through. Nobody understands me. And this is a phrase that is actually not biblical. Because Jesus understands what you're going through. And why am I talking about this? Because if we pay attention to this verse, chapter 7, verse 14, prophet Isaiah is saying, I will give you a sign. I will give you a sign. There will be a sign. Eventually, there will be a sign. A virgin will have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. But Emmanuel means God with man or God with us. And eventually, yes, Jesus Christ was born, so the Son of God, or God himself, was among us. But Emmanuel means, yeah, God with man or God with us, but that also means Jesus or God understands what we're going through because he is God with man, God among us, so he understands what we're going through. When I was in seminary, we learned a lot of things, and one of the things that we learned is that when Jesus was here on earth, we learned that he had two natures. Jesus was fully human and Jesus was fully divine, the Son of God. He was fully divine because he's the Son of God. But he also was fully human because he was Emmanuel, or he is Emmanuel, God with man. Fully human, that means that Jesus was able to experience all human feelings. So when we say nobody understands me, that's a lie and that's not biblical, because actually Jesus understands that, because that's in the Bible. Emmanuel, God with man, God among us. Because Jesus understands, God himself through Jesus Christ experienced every single feeling or emotion, human emotions, Jesus knows that. And I'm going to give you some examples about it. I'm sure most of you have read these stories in the Bible, but the first one, Jesus knows what it feels to be betrayed by somebody. Jesus knows what it feels to be disappointed by somebody. You know, and probably one of the biggest examples is like his own disciple betrayed him, Judas. His own disciple betrayed Jesus. You know, Jesus called him his disciples. Jesus called Judas, come and follow me. So Judas was one of him. Jesus trusts Judas. He was like, Judas, you will be with me. You know, and for 3 years, Judas was with him, and Jesus trusted him. Probably Jesus prayed for him plenty of times. But then at some point, Judas decided to betray Jesus. And even though the Bible doesn't talk a lot about this, just put yourself in Jesus' shoes and just imagine that probably Jesus cried a little bit because he felt betrayed by Judas. Have you thought about it? Like, I'm sure he cried. You know, probably at some point he's like, why did he do that? You know, I was with him for 3 years. I prayed for him. He saw me doing miracles. And now he's paying me back that way. You know, how unfair his own disciple betrayed Jesus. Man, that's hard. You know, if we are making a movie, you know, and someone betrays somebody, I was like, oh, dude, do not forgive that person. Like, just like, see you later. Goodbye. Thank you for playing. You know, but that was hard. That was hard. And even though that happened, Jesus was able to die for Judas, too. He gave his life for Judas, too, for the entire world, but for him, too. So Jesus understands what it feels to be betrayed by somebody, to that someone disappointed him. Jesus understands that. So sometimes, you know, we have met people, my family and I in Mexico, and we have met people that, you know, they married somebody. They fell in love with somebody and they married a woman or a man, and for a couple of years everything was really good. But then something happened, you know, things didn't turn out the way you were expecting. You got into divorce or something related like that, you know, because your wife or your husband betray you, he cheated on you. You know that those examples are out there. You know, and you feel betrayed. You feel like, man, why this person take me back like that? I don't deserve it. And yeah, even though you don't deserve it, you know, it's really hard. But then people start saying phrases like, nobody understands me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Which that's not biblical. Because Jesus actually understands what you're going through. Because Jesus was also betrayed by his own disciple. And even though that is hard, but here in this verse we read hope. Because if Jesus understands what you're going through, if Jesus actually understands that you were betrayed, that someone paid you back in a way that you were not expecting to, in a way that it was not the right one, Jesus understands that. And what a message of hope that Jesus is like, even though you didn't deserve that, because you didn't deserve that, guess what? Me, Jesus, I actually understand what you're going through. And I want to help you. I want to help you to go through that. I want to help you. I want to restore you. I want to work with your feelings. I want to work with you so you will not have like bitterness in your heart, that you will not have envy, that you will not have resentment. I will help you. A couple years ago, I was still in Mexico, and we met this family. It's a family that probably is a good example for many people. They grew up in the church, and the parents were leaders, and their children, they grew up in the church. They used to go to church camps and everything. But something happened in that marriage. The husband cheated on the wife, and I'm talking about two leaders in the church. The woman, the husband and the wife, they are still leaders. But years ago, we found out that, I don't know, for some reason, the husband cheated on the wife. So, you know, it was kind of a mess there. You know, what's going on now? You are leaders in the church, and now you're cheating on your wife. How come now the children, you know, resentment against against their dad? You know, like, the church was like, now what? You know, kind of not a good testimony. You know, but even though it was not a good testimony for the church, the family, you know, is the one that was suffering at that time because now the children didn't want to hear from their dad anymore. But then the mom in that family, she was the one that played an important role there because she's a woman of prayer. She's a woman that believes in fasting. So she started praying for her family. You know, God, I ask you that you will protect my family, that even though I don't understand why my husband cheated on me, being a leader in the church, I ask you that you will restore our family, that you will restore my children, that my children will talk again to their dad. You know, and we are close to that family. We know them really good. So we were able to, you know, to follow all the story and all the process of healing. And what this lady used to tell us was like, yes, even though I don't know why this happened, even though I don't know why my husband cheated on me, I know Jesus understands what I'm going through because, you know, I've been disappointed, I've been betrayed, but God understands what I'm going through. So the lady kept praying about it, and after some years, actually, you know, God did a miracle. God performed a miracle, and God restored the family. He restored the family. You know, the husband asked for forgiveness to God in the first place, but also asked his children to forgive him. So now, you know, it's a healing process, but now it's a family that is, you know, still together. All of them, they go to church, they praise God. Their mom is still one of the leaders at the church, and the husband is still, you know, going through all the healing process. But in the middle of that, in the middle of all the disappointment, of the betrayal, God was still there because he understands. And he helped an entire family to remain together. Because one of the options could be like, well, the wife could have said, I'm just going to get into divorce. You know, probably it was another option, but she remained faithful to the Lord, and now the family is still together. The five of them praise God, the five of them, they sing to God, they go to church together, and now they're a testimony for many people. But it's a message of hope. Emmanuel, God with men, God among us. He understands what you're going through. There's no such thing like nobody understands me, because Jesus understands you. He knows that. And what a message of hope. The second one that probably you have heard is the story when Jesus lost a good friend, Lazarus. You know, we read in the gospel that Jesus had good friends. Jesus actually had good friends. When we go and we have dinner with our friends, Jesus had some friends like that too, and one of them was Lazarus. So one day, you know, they told him, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is sick. So Jesus went there. It took him a little bit to get to where Lazarus was, but when Jesus arrived to the city, he was already dead. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days now. And we see, when we read in the Bible, that one of the first things Jesus did was to start crying. But why did he cry? You know, because his good friend Lazarus was dead. Because how many times Jesus and Lazarus didn't talk about life? How many times the two of them, they shared about dreams, about their goals, about ministry? Probably a lot of times. But now Lazarus was dead. So Jesus was kind of like sad. He cried. He really cried. His friend was dead. And even though you have read the story and Jesus actually said to Lazarus, come out of that tomb, and Lazarus came back to life, we learn that Jesus actually understands what it means to lose a loved one. You know, sometimes we go through life, and especially these seasons that, you know, we have a lot of parties, and if you're Mexican, you eat a lot of tacos. You know, we go sometimes through these seasons, and, you know, people start to remember. I remember my husband, but now he is with the Lord. Some people, they have lost their children, and they say, like, man, you know, even though it's a season to be joyful, I start remembering, you know, my children that he died when he was just a kid. You know, and those are hard situations. People are celebrating out there, but some people are mourning. Some people have sorrow, like, because they remember their dad, their mom, their children, somebody close that died. But sometimes people make the mistake to say, nobody understands me. Nobody understands the pain, what I'm going through, which that's not biblical. Because actually, it is, you know, hard feelings, you know, it's really hard. But there is someone that understands you, and that's the message of hope. It's like Jesus. Jesus understands you. Probably that's why Prophet Isaiah was saying there will be a sign. A virgin will have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God among men, or God with us. Because Jesus understands. Because Jesus understands what it feels like his good friend Lazarus died. So people that, you know, they have lost a loved one, even though it's hard, you can be sure 100% that Jesus is there with you, next to you, and he's willing to help you. You know, even though it's hard, but Jesus is willing to help you because he understands what it feels. He actually understands. And Jesus is telling you, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you to go through this. You don't have to mourn anymore. Yeah, I remember those people that were one time with you. Remember them. But you don't have to mourn anymore. You don't have to sorrow anymore, because Jesus is there with you, and he will help you to go through those situations. I never been in a situation that I have lost a loved one really close. I don't know how it feels. I actually don't know. But last week, a couple weeks ago, I was reading a book. The name of the book is To the Moon and Back. The author is actually a Christian person. His name is Karen Kingsbury. And she's talking about the terrorist attack in Oklahoma City in 1995. There was like a car, and there was like a bomb inside, and a lot of people died that day. April 19, 1995, the bomb in Oklahoma City. You know, and the book is about like this lady. You know, she was 5 years old. And her mom and her dad, they used to work where the bomb took place. So she lost her parents when she was five. So for many years, she couldn't understand, you know, why did God allow that? why God didn't stop the terrorists. Why God? So she didn't understand that. You know, eventually when she was in college, she had an encounter with Jesus, and she was able to understand that even though that horrible thing took place, Jesus was the answer for her. Jesus was the rescue for her. Jesus was going to give her, you know, a way to go out of her sorrow. You know, and she's talking about that. But what got my attention is, like, in Oklahoma City, in the memorial where the bomb took place, there's like two walls. Like, in one wall it says 901, and the second wall says 903. 901, it was the minute before the bomb went off. 902, it was when actually the bomb went off, and 903 is the minute after the bomb went off. The two walls represents, like, 901, the past, when everything was still the same. Nothing has changed, no bomb went off. 902 is when it happened, but 903 is when healing starts taking place. So the lady in the book is saying, for a lot of time I was living in 902, asking God, why did it happen? Why? With sorrow, lamenting, crying. But she says it was when I was in college when I had an encounter with Jesus. And since then, since college, Jesus has been helping me with my emotions, because Jesus understands what it feels to lose a loved one. And she's saying in the book, now I live in 903, when healing begins, when healing is going through, when I understand that Jesus is my rescue. In this season of celebration, you know, you might be wondering, you might be remembering those who have died, and you remember them, and do that, remember them. But also remember that Jesus understands what you're going through. You're not alone, and that's a message of hope, that Jesus understands, because he's Emmanuel, God with men. The third story I want to talk about, Jesus understands what it means to be lonely, loneliness. You know, people sometimes feel lonely. You know, even though you're young, probably you can be a kid or like a teenager in your 20s, or you can be 80, 90. You know, some people feel lonely. You know, we're all humans. We have emotions. We have feelings. And we might say, like, well, you know, nobody understands what I'm going through. I feel lonely. And nobody understands. I don't know. I don't have anyone to talk about anything. I feel lonely. Nobody understands me. Which is not a biblical phrase, because Jesus actually understands what you're going through. Because Jesus understands loneliness. Just imagine, like, when he was only 30 years old, Jesus already left his family. He was healing people. He was performing miracles. Even though the Bible doesn't talk about this, just imagine Jesus, like, during the night, after healing many people, when he was sleeping, probably he was thinking about his mom. You know, what is my mom doing? My mom, Mary. What is my dad, Joseph, doing? You know, probably Jesus, many times he was sleeping and he was saying, like, man, I miss my family. I feel lonely. You know, when he was praying, and he asked his disciples, hey, can you stay here and pray? And Jesus was praying over there. When he came back, his disciples were sleeping. You know, like, come on, that's not cool. You know, he was also feeling lonely. Not even my disciples are praying with me. Loneliness. And sometimes we go through life and we say, man, I feel lonely. Nobody understands me. Pity on me. I don't have anybody to talk about right now. Jesus understands what we're going through. But the message of hope is that you can talk to Jesus, because Jesus understands what you're going through, and he's telling you, I want to help you with that. I want to help you. I'm willing to help you. I'm going to get you through that. Don't feel lonely. I was reading the story of a pastor in Latin America. He is from Guatemala, and he started the church. He is a pastor of a mega church now. He has like 20,000, 25,000 members. But he started the church in his living room. There were only three families in his living room. That's how the church started. And God performs miracles through him. I have seen those miracles. It's, you know, and it's amazing the way he preaches. You know, and in one of his books that he wrote, he says that a lot of people come to him and people ask him, what do you do? Like, how God performs miracles through you? What do you do? You know, and he always says, I didn't do anything. Everything is by grace. It's given to me. God's grace, you know, is just in me. But he says, but I'm going to tell you the things God has taught me during my life. I want to tell you all the things that I've been learning, all the things that God has processed me. And he said that the years when he grew the most spiritually, when he was growing the most, he said it was when I was single, because that was the time that I was not with my family. My family was in another city. I was living by myself. Sometimes I didn't have anybody. You know, I didn't have anyone to talk about life. You know, the only thing that I had is like a guitar in my room, and I started singing to God, praising to God, talking to Him. He said that was the years where I grew the most spiritually. That's the years in my loneliness that God actually shaped me. You know, and he tells the young people and people in general, you know, those moments of loneliness, that's actually the most precious times when you actually have the opportunity to grow in the Lord. You know, and now that he says, now I have a congregation of 20,000 members. You know, and all the cameras are on me. I have written a book and people know me. But nobody knew me when I was a single guy living by myself. Nobody knew me back then. Nobody knew that during the night sometimes he was lonely. Nobody knew that. Nobody knows right now that back in the day I was in my room by myself praising the Lord, singing to him. And he says, like, don't be afraid of loneliness. Because first of all, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. So this is what prophet Isaiah is saying. I will give you a sign. A virgin will have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with men. Jesus understands what you're going through. Do not ever say again that nobody understands you. Jesus understands you. And I'm going to be honest. Jesus and God has shaped me in that way, because a couple times I've been saying that nobody understands me. And God is telling me, that's not true. Jesus understands. My son understands you. Because that's what prophet Isaiah said. There will be a sign. A virgin will have a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with men, God among us. I want to invite you to close your eyes right now. And, you know, I want you to think about the things I just spoke this morning. You know, what is that probably is in your heart that maybe sometimes brings you down, that maybe sometimes it makes you to feel sad, that sometimes make you to feel, you know, lonely? You know, just think about that. Whatever you think that nobody is able to help you, that nobody understands you, just think about that specific thing. Here's the message of hope. Jesus understands you, and he wants to help you. He's willing to help you. His desire is to help you, because Jesus loves you, because he understands every single human feeling. Jesus understands that, and he wants to help you, because he is God. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your kindness and your faithfulness. Thank you for loving God with us. Thank you because you're always taking care of us. You're always pursuing us, always showing love to us. And Father, thank you for the reminder that we are not alone. Thank you for the reminder that Jesus understands everything that we go through life. And thank you for that message of hope, because you are there to help us, to bless us. And Father, there's people here that they feel lonely, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, that during the week they will remember that they are not alone. Your Holy Spirit is with them and you protect them and you love them when they are driving to war, when they are at war, when they are at their house. And if they start feeling lonely, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and you will remind them that they are not alone. Your Holy Spirit is with them. For those, Father, if there are people here that they have lost a loved one, and this season is hard for them because they remember and they get sad, Father, that you will help them. That yes, they will remember their loved one, but that they will remember that you are with them and you will feel and you will pour out joy in their lives and you will put faith in them, but joy. And they will not be able to explain why they are having too much joy in their heart. And the only reason is because your Holy Spirit is pouring out joy in their lives. Father, if some people here, they have been betrayed by someone, if some people have made them wrong, if they are going through unfair situations, that they remember, Father, that you are the creator of the universe, that you are on the throne, Father, and you are looking after them, that you will protect them, that you will know, that you will not leave them alone, Father, and that they will remember that you're a God of justice, Father, and you are always looking after every single thing. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.